I'll come right in.
Rock, flag, and eagle!
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chair Caton, your NASCAR podcast for Belly Up Sports. I'm your host, Rattlesnake, here in Austin, Texas. And once again, I have one of the OG guests on. I think you're like an OG, Eric.
It's been a while, but yeah, I was at the very beginning. Oh, thanks for having me back on. It's been a little while, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, I noticed, I want to say the first time you're on the show was last year before the Daytona 500.
Honestly, it might have been.
Was it before that even? I don't know.
I think I came on sometime in the middle of the year, but I don't remember what we talked about. I just remember petting your dog a lot, and that was fun. So,
yeah, you're one of the OGs on this podcast because just so happens I got the biggest YouTuber for NASCAR living in Austin. I mean, what are the odds?
Yeah, not living there anymore, unfortunately. We got to do this remotely. I know. Oh, man. I miss Austin. It's pretty. Rent's high in Austin, but it's cheaper than where I'm at now in SoCal. So I'm missing it. Something fierce. But it's good to be back. It's good to get to talk to you. I feel like I'm sitting in your living room once again. This is nice and convenient.
I should have sent you like some barbecue and a Dr. Pepper.
I have Dr. Pepper. They're hard to find here, but I have some. Yeah, they're hard to find, but you can only find them at grocery stores. Usually, some restaurants have them.
That's McDonald's. So weird.
I will say this: McDonald's still they do their dollar soft drinks here, which I was shocked to see. So I can still go get myself a large Dr. Pepper if I absolutely need it. If I get homesick.
Yeah, because any fast food restaurant here, as you know, regardless of if they have Coke products or Pepsi products, they always every single one will have a Dr. Pepper.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I've ever been to a fast food restaurant in Texas without Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, it's shocking if you ever find one. Yeah.
Yeah, you would be like, excuse me?
It would be run out of business before long, yeah.
Right. The only excuse would be, oh, sorry, we ran out or something. And I'd be like, oh, okay.
I wouldn't even accept that. There's no excuse that I would accept.
You need to go to HEB and get more Dr. Pepper to sell to me.
I will say this might be sacrilegious as someone who's born and raised in Texas, but honestly, I kind of like In-N-Out pretty darn well. Like, I don't know if I'd say it's a better restaurant than Whataburger. Whataburger is great. But if I just want a burger and fries, I'm not going to lie. In-N-Out's kind of dang good. I mean,
see, I'm totally against you on that one.
I figured most people from Texas would. That's why
here's why. Number one, obviously, they're from California, so I can't support it. But more importantly, number two, their fries are just so bad. I can't eat them.
Yeah, the fries are. Yeah, I'd probably give Whataburger the edge on the fries.
The burgers are fine there. You know, it's a burger. Burgers are great.
Yeah, and it's one of the few cheap meals you can find in this town. So.
Oh, that does make sense. Yeah. What about, would you take In-N-Out over Pete Terry's, though?
I actually have not had Pete Terry's. I lived in Austin for 3 years, and I never – I did go to Pete Terry's once. That's right. I guess it just didn't leave that big of an impression on me. It was good.
Interesting. Pete Terry's is very similar to In-N-Out, a couple options on the menu, very simple burgers, but the fries are a lot better.
Yeah, I do remember liking the fries more. I just feel like the burger, maybe I got a bad burger or something, but I remember the burger was just kind of okay. I didn't feel like it was
in California too long. How long have you been there? A couple weeks?
Yeah, like a month maybe. I don't even know.
It's already too long.
Yeah, I've been destroyed already. My will to live is gone. But that's why I'm on this podcast. I'm here to get a...
There you go, man. Welcome back to Texas.
Oh yeah, this is nice. So what we got going on today? It's been a long off season, but we're ready to we're all ready to start racing again.
It's been excruciatingly long. And I was just at my brother's house the other day and I was just telling him like, oh hey man, the Clash is on this Sunday. NASCAR's finally back. And he was like, was it ever not on? Like other sports fans don't comprehend because our off season's only like 3 months.
Yeah, we talk about how
it's spoiled.
Yeah, we talk about how excruciating it is waiting, but in all honesty, it's like barely 2.5. It's not even really 2.5 months. It's like 2 months. It's like 6 weeks. It feels like, and for the drivers and stuff, I feel like they barely have time to blink, and the off season's already over. So, yeah, it's a blessing for some, and I guess a curse for others. But yeah, it's back.
It's back. What do you think of the Clash?
Oh, the Clash. Yeah.
Let's start with the logo.
I like the logo. Oh, we're going to talk. Yeah, the logo, the Busch Clash, kind of a throwback. You know, the Busch Clash was a, you know, existed for many years there, but I like the throwback name. The logo looks awesome. The branding around this overall event, and it was neat seeing the like generic NASCAR Cup Series logo and the new like sponsors and stuff like kind of on the TV broadcast for the first time. It was neat kind of seeing all of that. So yeah, visually, like the tone, this thing, Busch yeah. Clash was pretty darn cool.
Yes, I agree. I'm very hyped about the branding. I want to get a shirt for it just because it's so cool.
It's a good logo for sure.
But the race itself, a lot of mixed reviews on this one.
A race was not a pretty race. I'll be curious to hear what you thought about it. I thought it was, it was not necessarily very becoming of a world-class motorsport to go out and kind of perform in that way. Some of the wrecks just felt completely unnecessary. It felt like amateur hour. It felt like an ARCA race, mainly because we got some young 20-year-olds in this race, kind of like what ARCA is used to. It felt just messy and sloppy overall. So the racing, I can't say it was a great race except the last two laps were absolutely iconic. Two destroyed race cars pushing each other to the lead. That was absolutely iconic. But yeah. The entertainment value really from about the midway portion when that fuel strategy was playing out to the end of the race, the final half of the race, entertainment value was through the roof. I thought I was glued to my TV set sitting on my couch. I couldn't get up. I had some of my roommates here who don't know anything about NASCAR, but they were kind of paying attention too, and they were in at least somewhat invested. So the entertainment value was there. However, that's not something that I think is sustainable long-term. If every week looks like the Clash, I think at some point, obviously, teams are going to run out of money fixing all these race cars, but at some point it will become just a farce. But a one-off here and there, Daytona, it's like an all-star event. I thought it was fine. I had a fun time. It was a great way to spend 2 hours, and my guy won. I'm an Eric Jones guy, and that was cool to see him win, especially in dramatic fashion. I kind of am. I've always...
When did that happen?
So I was a Matt Kenseth fan for years. People who don't know that, I love Matt Kenseth. Big fan.
Even if they don't know you, they know you're a Matt
Kenseth. Yeah, I wear the shirt and hat pretty much everywhere I go, so... but towards the end of Kenseth's career, I could kind of see the writing on the wall probably a year and a half before he left Gibbs that Eric Jones was probably going to end up replacing him at some point. So I was following him. I remember seeing him going to an Xfinity race at Texas in like maybe 2016, saw him win there, thought that was cool. I was like, I like this guy because he comes from a similar background as Kenseth. Kenseth raced short tracks up in Wisconsin. Jones raced short tracks up in Michigan. So kind of rivals, but neighbors. So I thought that was cool. And I like Jones's story, and he was really good in trucks. He was really good in Xfinity, and he's kind of boring. He is kind of dry, but I do appreciate his work ethic. He doesn't just say a lot of stupid stuff. He kind of is down to business. He reminds me in a lot of ways of Matt Kenseth. So that's why I started following Jones probably around 2016. And I don't really have like a favorite driver. I'm definitely not as invested in Jones as I was in Kenseth, not even close. But if I had to pick a guy, I'd go with Jones these days more often than not.
Well, he definitely personifies a Midwesterner.
Yeah, which is funny because I'm boring. Spent like no time in the Midwest, but for some reason I like these guys. All my favorite drivers.
Midwesterners are good people. I've lived there for a while. Yeah,
of course.
Just real good people. So I'm sure Eric Jones is a great guy, but when it comes to his personality on the track, he is so boring.
Oh, he's dry. He's dry. But I appreciate it. I rooted for Matt Kenseth for 15 years. It doesn't get much drier than that.
Right. I was going to say. So I think that makes sense then. The ending was insane. I think so. It seems like the people that didn't like the race didn't like the fact that there were so many wrecks. I think that's the only, that's obvious.
Yeah.
And I understand that complaint because I think, like you said, some of those wrecks just completely seemed unnecessary and just kind of like rookie mistakes from not rookie drivers, which was interesting. Maybe, it's the first race back. They're getting out their jitters or whatever, just getting back in the groove of things. But my one thing is the people that didn't like the race because they were wrecking the cars and they're worried that that's too expensive. I'm just like, you're thinking too deeply in this, man. If you're worried about, the price of cars, like, stop watching NASCAR.
If you're going to come to Daytona, you expect to wreck some race cars, and I think here's the thing, and I talked about this in one of my recent videos, but like when I watched the ARCA race at Daytona and I saw, some of those wrecks take out some smaller teams, I'm like, okay, I feel bad for those guys because wrecking that race car is going to really hit that team's bottom line. And the same thing sometimes in the truck series when a lot of small team truck drivers get taken out in a wreck. I'm like, that's really going to hurt their bottom line. So I do hate to see wrecks, like genuinely hate to see wrecks in those series, especially when it involves those drivers. But in the Cup Series at Daytona, I mean, yesterday, I'll be honest, when Kyle Busch and Joey Logano got together and took out Keselowski, I didn't even bat an eye. What, multi-billionaire Roger Penske's going to ever fix his cars? Like, I'm sorry, that's not going to put that team out of business. Not to mention, these cars are basically obsolete after this year anyways with the next-gen car coming out. Like, I'll be honest, if a Cup team wrecks a car, there's some Cup teams, like when Richard Petty wrecks a car, I feel kind of bad because I know that team's struggling. If, you know, Gaunt Brothers with Suarez wreck some cars this year, I'll feel kind of bad because their team's just trying to make it right now. But I'll be honest, Joe Gibbs can wreck as many cars as he wants at Daytona. I'm not going to bat an eye because Joe Gibbs Racing is not in danger of going under because they wrecked a couple extra cars each weekend. I don't have this sort of, maybe this is just because I'm not even really a millennial. I'm technically younger than a millennial, I guess. I don't have the same like almost romantic relationship with my car that a lot of, I feel like, older fans seem to have. I didn't name my first car. You know, I don't have a strong attachment to my vehicle the way I think prior generations would, you know, so I don't sit here and, you know, feel like there's a death in the family when a car wrecks. You know, I don't have the same attachment that other people have, but when it comes down to the money, you know, I'm sorry, Roger Penske wrecking a couple of his cars, I'm not worried about. That's just the truth of it.
Yeah, I mean, he could start a demolition derby in the infield and still be fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
He could literally host a demolition derby.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with all the wrecks is it just looks sloppy. I mean, if a Formula One fan or an IndyCar fan or hell, anything fan tuned into that race and saw all those wrecks, honestly, wrecking before the start and finish, like William Byron, Ryan, all those guys spinning the tires, that just makes the series look unprofessional. That's my biggest issue with the wrecks.
Right. I have no problems with wrecks at Daytona. If you don't go into Daytona expecting huge wrecks and at least half the field out, you know, then you really haven't been watching long enough to know. Mm-hmm. But I agree that my only issue with those wrecks was they just looked sloppy. And I'm like, why? Like, you're better drivers than this.
Like Larson and Elliott getting together, it's like, come on, Chase Elliott, you've won tracks. Larson, I know you guys are better than that, than some of these incidents. So it was
who do you think was at fault?
That one, it was tough. I think Elliott made a kind of a late move, and anytime you make a late move like that, it loosens the car in front of you up and kind of puts them out on the edge of control. Larson was probably trying to block a little bit as well, so I it's hard for me to really put the blame. Same thing with Kyle Busch, Logano, it was really tough. I think Logano was blocking aggressively, but he did make a pretty good block before they ultimately came together. And then I think Busch misjudged it. Again, I think those are really tough. And I usually try to pick a side on wrecks. I'm not a fan of just saying things are racing incidents because I think there's always something somebody could have done differently in some way, shape, or form. But in those cases, it really is – I mean,
it's hard to tell if the person drafting, you know, cut down and the person in front got loose, or if he did go for – a late block, in which case block, that's your fault. You should have never dropped down like that. But if they just got loose, then that's not on them. You know,
that's more on the guy behind them. Yeah. It's tough. Those two situations were tough, which is why it was just kind of, it was just kind of frustrating. Cause it wasn't like Stenhouse in 2018 taking out the whole field on his own. And everyone knew it was Stenhouse was the problem. Right. In this case, it's like, well, it's not any one driver, or any two drivers. It's kind of just everybody.
And no drivers seem to be mad at each other. They kind of all were like,
Keselowski was a little frustrated with it sounded like he was a little frustrated with Logano actually, which was interesting, but other than that, I feel like a lot of guys were just kind of,
I was surprised. I thought maybe Larson, Elliott, Busch would all kind of have beefs, but none of them. I mean, I think Busch, Kyle Busch even took some credit for the wreck with Logano.
Yeah.
So
he did. He took actually a decent amount of the blame for it, I thought.
Right. So, and originally I didn't think he was at fault. And then I was like, I was wrong. So that's interesting too. What did you think of the iconic finish of our, Denny Hamlin, the most current Daytona 500 winner, pushing his teammate to victory?
I thought it was hilarious because the funny thing is he was a lap down at the time. Right. So he had, it honestly worked out perfectly because it was, you know, Austin, there was only like four or five, there's five cars on the lead lap, and Austin Dillon was the only one that didn't have any notable damage on it. But Austin Dillon had no dance, but it was basically a bunch of people, every man for themselves. You had Austin Dillon, an RCR car. You had Newman, a Roush Ford, Larson, a Ganassi Chevrolet, Jones, a Gibbs Toyota. I can't remember who else was up in that pack. There's one other car, but the only person that really had any sort of teammate in that group was Jones, and his teammate happened to have nothing to lose there and was not going to, you know, it was literally the only thing Hamlin could do there was help Eric Jones. He had no reason to race for his own for his own success. His only goal was to help Eric Jones. So it was an unfair advantage in that sense, but you look at those two race cars. Those were the two most dinged up cars in the field at that point.
And yeah, I mean,
it was a sight to behold, honestly.
It's just strategy. There's nothing against it, you know.
Oh yeah, no issue. I didn't have any issue. People who think Hamlin was like, it was lame that they did it. I'm like, no, come on, y'all. It's the
same team. He didn't have a chance to win. They got their car back out there. Like, I think it's totally fair. It was just surprising. Because Austin Dillon's battling with Ryan Newman. You know, Ryan Newman gets the pass on him, but Austin's car is in much better shape. So Austin does that little fake out, gets around Newman. Newman's trying to block Austin, focused on Austin the whole time. All the while,
they just come flying.
Nobody expects.
Yeah.
Denny Hamlin just pushing Eric Jones past them.
Yeah. And they're just hilarious.
It was wild. They were just gone. And I think even Austin was like, what the hell just happened? Like, I thought I just got the pass to win this thing. Yeah.
It was a classic finish.
I thought it was iconic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was great. And I used to hate the tandem racing. You remember when I used to do that?
Yeah.
And it was just so frustrating because it would just be pairs of cars.
Yeah. When it was all tandem, it was bad.
In this case, it was so cool to see it. Just two, like, wrecked cars pushing each other.
Yeah, for sure. It was fun in that this instant and kind of an isolated case, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. They actually used it as a strategy where no one else was. So now that we've seen the cars with their huge ass spoilers out there on the track, by the way, what do you think of the spoilers?
I saw them in person at Talladega last year. Those things are scary looking. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, maybe a little too big.
I kind of like the way they look. Did you see the guys like carrying them around earlier in the week? Like,
yes.
Some big dudes holding those things. Huge, and they still made them look small. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah. So what are you thinking then for this weekend? Daytona 500. I mean, the duels, who cares? We'll go straight to the 500.
I'm just interested in the duels to see if Suarez makes it in, because Suarez hasn't technically qualified. And I know there's a few of those, I think five drivers gunning for those last two spots in the race. So it'll be interesting to see if Suarez can hang in there, because that team doesn't have a charter. So he's kind of going to be on
his own. I'll watch him regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's racing.
But I don't know. So Daytona 500. Making predictions for this race is not an easy one.
No.
I think the Chevys definitely have made it a point of emphasis to work together, is what it feels like. Whereas I feel like the Fords and maybe even the Toyotas actually possibly are more prepared. I say that, but I think the Chevys do have good speed. I mean, we saw, you know, Stenhouse in a Chevy and Bowman in a Chevy are in the front row. So I think Chevys have their typical qualifying speed. I just don't know how they're going to race. So I'm leaning, you know, if I had to separate it into my dark horse picks, guys I think you should keep an eye on, and then like my favorites, I think someone like Ross Chastain, I'd keep an eye on him. He's in a Chip Ganassi prepared car, and he won a race at a speedway last year. I can't remember if it was a Trucks or Xfinity race. And I remember at one point at Talladega, he was leading the truck race when he wrecked. So he knows how to run up front at these places, and he's extremely aggressive. So I have a feeling he's going to either finish top five, or he's going to wreck half the field while running inside the top five. That's what I'm predicting from Ross Chastain. So keep an eye on him there. I think Chris Buescher, since he's in that Roush Fenway Ford, also Ryan Newman in a Roush Fenway Ford, the Roush cars are always good at the speedways. Newman almost won at Talladega last year. Stenhouse, back when he was in the 17, won a couple plate races. So I think keep an eye on Chris Buescher and Newman. But I don't know. Do you have, what kind of dark horses would you say you have? Are there anybody that you think should kind of fly, that might fly under the radar in your opinion?
Dark horse, it's kind of tough, because especially like with the rookies, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eric Almirola, you can never really count out. He almost won it before. I really like the Toyotas. I know they just kind of had to push their way to victory, this week or last week. But I think the Toyotas are looking good. So I almost want to lean towards somebody in a Toyota.
I like Toyotas. My problem with Toyotas, there's really only five competitive Toyotas. I just like one big wreck and they're all out of teammates. You know,
that's what I was just thinking. There's not enough of them. I don't know. Okay, dark horse aside, who do you think best shot at winning it? And I know it's so hard to pick because it's the Daytona 500.
It's a toss-up for sure. Well, I'm definitely leaning in the away from Chevy, even though I think Chevy will be fast. Denny Hamlin's won it twice. He won it last year. Keep an eye on Hamlin. I think he's going to be a tough guy to beat. Also, watch Brad Keselowski. He led a lot of laps in the Clash before he was caught up in one of those wrecks. He has not won the Daytona 500, but he has won at Daytona, and he's won a freaking crap ton at Talladega in his Cup career. So he knows how to race in the draft.
Would Sam win at Talladega?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If anyone goes to Talladega, you've probably seen Keselowski win.
I think I've seen him twice there, actually.
But I'm going out on a limb with this one. Those two are probably the clear two favorites. Maybe throw Logano in there as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Matt DiBenedetto to win the Daytona 500. That's my out on the limb prediction.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I'll defend myself a little bit here. You know, DiBenedetto has not won a Cup race ever. But keep this in mind. Last year, he led the most laps in this race. Remember that? Remember last year when he was in the 95? He actually led the most laps in the Daytona 500. So we know he can maneuver the air a little bit. Also, though, the thing that's tipped me over this year is he's in a Ford this year, a Penske Ford. And we just talked about Logano, Keselowski. Those Ford engines, the Penske cars are always competitive on the super speedways. And now that he's got more teammates to work with, you know, because he has the three Penske cars he can work with. And he's also got, you know, other Fords like to work together as well. I don't know. I think Matt DiBenedetto, he might shock the world this weekend. He's my pick. That's my pick.
I mean, this is the race to do it. That's for sure. I think it'd be really cool to see a rookie start out. It would
be really cool to see a rookie.
Because I'm just so hyped up for this rookie class.
Yeah.
So that would be really cool. That's kind of my out on the limb. I don't care which rookie, just a rookie, because they're very talented drivers. Mm-hmm. And this is the track to do it, right? And this is the race that you got a chance without all the experience or even necessarily the equipment. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to go like safe picks, I 100% agree with you. I would lean even more just like 100%. I think Denny Hamlin is my clear favorite to repeat it. I just think he's got the good equipment. If he can stay out of a majority of the wrecks, he could even get in like one or two wrecks, minor, and still win it. I mean,
very well could.
He managed to bring his car back out there, and he was a lap down, but he pushed someone else to victory.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin for like my safe pick.
That's not a bad pick. I was looking at the Las Vegas odds, and I think these haven't been updated in a while. These might be like a month old. But they had Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Chase Elliott all as the four favorites at 10-1 odds to win.
Interesting.
So I agree with that. I think if there's any Chevy driver that has the best shot, I think it's going to be Chase Elliott. He won Talladega last year. So
I was going to say Chase or Kyle Larson would be cool.
Larson has terrible luck at this track. I'd love to see it, but I don't know. There's like a black cloud over Larson. I'd be afraid to pick him, but
it would be cool to see Larson come out with a victory right away, especially at a track that he, you know, super speedway.
Yeah,
that would be pretty cool. I would love for Larson to get a little more hype around his career, like he had in like 2017.
For sure. I'd love to see Larson win because, you know, he just won the Chili Bowl, you know, a few weeks ago in Oklahoma. Yeah. That was the biggest win of his career. Now let's see if he can grab maybe the second biggest win of his career. I don't know. I think that would be really cool.
You think he would change his mind if he won the Daytona 500?
Probably not in the moment, but once he saw that that paycheck, though, you know, that comes through his mailbox, you know, maybe a few weeks later, he might realize, oh, yeah, this Daytona deal is pretty darn special. So I don't know.
Because, you know,
Chili Bowl's close to him.
You know, somebody like Bob Pockrass would immediately ask
if he Someone in the media center or even on the track.
Immediately be like, so is this still just the second best?
I don't know. They might be afraid to ask because what if he literally says, oh, yeah, no, Chili Bowl's still better? What if he still says that on national TV, you know, after winning the biggest? I would respect it, but it wouldn't be a good look for the sport. So I don't know. They might be afraid to ask him, honestly, because they might be afraid of the truth.
And I know people were so pissed about that. I don't know why people were so upset. I thought,
it was a very vocal minority of the community, I think, that thought that was a bad look. He didn't actively trash Daytona. He grew up wanting to win the Chili Bowl, going to race dirt races.
Exactly.
Like, obviously, that's a big deal. I just think people overreacted to that one for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, another thing, too, we have to remember, and I feel like it's hard to remember this sometimes, but I was looking up the data and I think only about 2% of America actively uses Twitter.
Really?
And yeah. Actively uses Twitter. Only 2%. And so when you think about the NASCAR audience, I bet it's even less than 2% because of the age demographic and stuff like that.
That's probably true.
We have to think this is such a small minority that's on Twitter. And although it can be a good way to get a sample of how people feel about things in NASCAR, I think we forget sometimes when we see everybody on Twitter saying one thing, there's a good chance a vast majority of people don't necessarily agree with that.
That's a good point. I think those are good words to live by.
Yeah. Don't take Twitter too seriously, guys. That's my one point. How's the show going though? Before you go, I wanted to plug the show a little bit. I'm sure all my listeners already watch your channel, obviously.
Well, that's wishful thinking. Well, if there's anyone out there who hasn't watched, I do a show on YouTube, Out of the Groove is what it's called. Multiple times a week, every week, I cover all the biggest news stories and topics from the NASCAR world. I give you my thoughts on them. I tell you what's going on. I try to make sense of this crazy racing world. And sometimes when I'm lucky, I get to have actual people from the industry. Like this last week, I had Jordan Anderson on, Truck Series driver, also team owner. I had him on the show to talk about his kind of season, also him building up to what he is now, which is really neat. And also I'll be going to a few races this year, so I'll be doing videos at the track. So if you ever want like kind of almost a behind the scenes look of what a NASCAR Cup race weekend looks like, I'm hoping to go to a good number of tracks this year and show you guys as much as I possibly can. So yeah, subscribe. It's YouTube. Just hit 100,000 subscribers at the end of last year, which is an incredible milestone, and hoping it just continues to grow as fast as can be. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah, and I feel like it's very unlikely, but the first Michigan race, if you are able to go, Belly Up Sports, we're doing our first official meetup.
Ooh.
We're just inviting everybody, and we're getting two lots right on the turn where everybody parks their campers. We got an RV.
That sounds like a full-on production then.
Yeah, we're putting a lot into it. Yeah, so.
That's awesome. Well, I'll try to get out.
Giveaways, merch, giveaways, everything.
Wow, I'll try to make it out to that. I you know, Michigan's far away, but I know
that's why I know you're in California.
I have plans to go to Phoenix here in a few weeks. Those only came together like a week ago, so honestly anything's possible. There's the season's still wide open for me, so if something works out, I'd love to be up there for that. That sounds fun.
I'm gonna try to go to as many races as possible, so I hope I'm able to make it to a West Coast race and we can meet up at a race at some point.
For sure, yeah. This was fun. I'm glad we got to sit down and do this again.
Yeah. Now, next time, you just got to come back to Austin. So we can actually
sit down. Sounds good to me.
You can play with my dog.
Man, I just bought my plane ticket right there.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for coming on. Up next, I'm going to have my interview with Christian Eckes.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody stick around and listen to that. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Later, man. All right, I'm reluctant to welcome on the worst guest I've ever had on my podcast throughout the history of this show, Christian Eckes. Thanks for coming back, I guess.
All right, Pat, man. All right, I'll just hang up. It's fine.
What's up, dude?
Nothing, man. Just practicing for this race coming up here. I was running a race before you called. Didn't go very well, but, you know.
It didn't go well?
It's Daytona. I mean, what are you going to do?
As the team owner, dude, I don't know how Kyle Busch is, but I think I'm way stricter than he is. Is Kyle a pretty tough boss? I mean, you don't say anything you don't want to say, obviously, but
he's not that bad.
Oh, really?
He just expects a lot, which, I mean, if we're really trying to make this deal work, then it's pretty much to be expected. A lot of people have won in those trucks, and you know, he needs to be a little bit rough on us and tough on us to go out and win.
I
feel that's like the way that I look at it, at least.
You'll have some of the best equipment on the tracks, right? I mean, he's got a good team.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you went from Venturini and Arca, some of the best equipment, to Kyle Busch. I mean, are you just a spoiled driver?
Spoiled driver? Wow. That sounds a little rude.
You excited though for Daytona?
It's gonna be a little bit different, especially with my shoulder. But yeah, you know, I got it operated on in November, I guess. So it's been kind of working back to get Matt. So I tested a super late model a couple weeks ago, or I guess it was last week now, and got that thing dialed in, I think. But, you know, it'll be the true test on Friday next week, or this week.
Oh, no, what happened to your shoulder?
Next week. So, I don't really know, honestly. That's a great question. I think it's just from wear and tear over the years. They think it's from one traumatic blow, which I'm assuming is a crash or something. But it ended up tearing a labrum, which I think is what, like, holds it in the socket. So, yeah, I don't really know, man.
Honestly. I think I've told you in another episode that you are an old man trapped in, like, a young person's body.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. You know, most 18-year-olds don't have shoulder surgery. Or 19-year-olds. I'm 19.
Right.
That's right.
Shit, that's right. You're 19.
Yeah. I can't discount myself that one year.
So what's it like now being on a full-time truck team? Is it a lot different, or is it just kind of like – just a little bit more money, a little more pressure?
Yeah. You know, it's nice. I make a little bit more money, but
hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too much pressure. You know, honestly, going into this year, I ended it on a pretty strong note last year. So it's not like, yeah, I'm going in like nervous or anything. I feel like I can perform and I can do everything that I can. It's just about, you know, maximizing that performance. And, you know, I feel like I'm going into this year more structurally sound, I guess, because, you know, my shoulder's where it needs to be. And, you know, as far as mentally wise, I feel like I'm in the best shape I've been in a while. So, we're just going to have to take it race by race and day by day. But, you know, I feel like we're in a pretty good spot.
Have you ever considered, additional surgery to essentially create like a bionic arm?
I mean, it'd be nice. I wouldn't have to worry about shoulder problems then.
If you're part robot, I mean, don't you think you could drive better as half robot?
Probably, honestly.
Is that illegal in NASCAR, you think?
Yeah, I'd probably say so.
If they don't allow Adderall, I think a bionic arm might be frowned upon.
Yeah. I mean, this might sound terrible, but I feel like I'd be so much better on, you know, like something.
On Adderall, yes.
Yeah, just like super focused, like, yeah, just ready to go.
100%. You'd be zoomed in. You'd be zoned, yeah, in the whole race. Yeah, I have a hard time cleaning my apartment without Adderall.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, so I can't even imagine driving a car for that long without Adderall.
It's called Brain Armor. It's like an omega-3 supplement or something. That's some good stuff right there.
Is that separate?
I don't know if it's just like the placebo effect or something, but it's supposed to like help with brain health and stuff in that nature.
For a 19-year-old, if you need brain health, you are an old man.
Yeah. Dude, I'm just getting prepared. All right. That's just what it is.
So, I mean, I feel like there's quite a bit of hype around you. That doesn't make you nervous or anything?
Hype. What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you're coming in. You had a good – I mean, you won the ARCA Series Championship, and then you finished off the Truck Series, you know, with a good finish last year. You're new to the Kyle Busch Motorsports team. I mean, you don't think there's any hype around you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've always been kind of like the guy underneath the shadows, so I'm cool with that. I don't really care
what anybody
thinks about me.
I think there's some hype. I think people are excited to see what you can do in the truck.
We'll see.
Okay, maybe that's just me. I'm just hyping you up.
I don't know. That's cool, I guess.
Well, I need you to do really well to help my podcast out. So,
true. I need to do really well on Monday so I can get a good starting spot. How's this still going to work?
Like, that's what I was just going to get into.
Like, one, do I qualify I need you to win. And then... Like, is this a fixed series, or am I just absolutely screwed?
What do you mean?
Like, is the setups fixed?
I don't know.
That's going to be a neck if it's not.
Okay. You send me any... I'm like your manager for iRacing. You send me any questions you got, I'll take care of it.
Hang on. Leagues. I just got a league invite. Let me see.
From Directory.
What's the guy's name? Oh, it's E-Racing Stock Car Association.
Let's Yeah, his name is Johnny. Good guy.
There is no message of the day. Damn.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's see here.
League Do you want me info. To start putting in messages of the day?
There's no league info. A seasons? Past seasons. No, nothing. I don't know. I hope it is.
I'll find out this info for you, and I will make sure everything is to your liking since I'm your team owner slash manager.
Okay, that's perfect. I just need to make sure that it's fixed. Like, the setups aren't fixed. I'm screwed. I'm out.
Why? I'm quitting. What does that mean? I don't know anything about iRacing.
So fixed means that everybody runs the same setup, and open setup means that you have to build one, and I'm not about that life right now.
Okay.
It takes way too long.
So what if I got – what if it is open and I got somebody to build one for you? Is that a possibility?
I mean, yeah, but he better be good.
Okay. I'm your manager now,
fix,
dude, for iRacing.
Fixed setup. Fixed setup. Sure. I can just wheel, and that's it. I mean, we talk about setups and stuff. I mean, that's just like – that's a lot of time.
Okay.
I mean, I could build them myself, but it would take forever.
Sure, you could. I will say, now that I announced that you are driving the number 69 in this iRacing series, yeah, the 69 nice car, there's some people talking shit, man. They think they're going to take you down pretty easily.
That's fine. I don't really iRace that much, so if they want to, go ahead.
I like the humbleness.
I mean, I'm not bad for sure, but I mean, it's not like I'm great. I mean, you could have definitely got somebody better to drive it.
God damn it, Christian.
It's all about the name, man. It's all about the flash.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good hype, as you called it.
Yep. Your face went really well with the design.
Dude, I gave you that picture, and it was perfect.
I think the other picture was better, but I went with what you wanted.
Not. It yes, was it, not.
Okay, can you explain to me what was wrong with the other picture? Because I was trying to figure out what the
it's a low shot, man. I got like a family genetic weird jawline. You got to have like the down shot.
Okay. All right. You sound a lot like my wife when I'm taking pictures for her Instagram.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I haven't learned.
Yeah.
I haven't learned yet. I'm working.
You got to always think of the jawline. You got to make sure it's nice, formed, everything.
Okay.
And it's only in some pictures. I mean, some pictures it looks like a pumpkin.
I'm going to start looking for pictures, like, from underneath and just sending them to you.
I mean,
and be like, what's up with this jawline, dude?
You can literally, like, look, I look happy in one picture. The other picture, I look, like, not even that happy.
Yeah, I was trying to, like, find, like, a mean looking, like you're mugging.
No, dude, I ain't never mugging. If I'm mugging, it's going to be a bad day. If I'm, like, happy, it's going to be a good day.
Or, okay, I haven't looked at the truck schedule. Are y'all going to be in Michigan when the Cup Series is there for the first Michigan race?
No. We in Texas.
Shit, are you serious?
I only know that because it's when the ARC races.
Damn it.
Because like races is always when the truck race at Texas is.
Belly Up Sports, we're doing like our first final like official meetup, and it's gonna be at the Michigan race.
Yeah.
Damn, that sucks, man. Mm. I was gonna say you could come out and party with us.
No, man. I don't. No.
What?
Not on here.
Well, I'm just saying you come out and we're going to be barbecuing and playing cornhole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not that like works. Yeah, just like that kind of party.
Yeah, that
just
works.
Do drivers ever do that? Do they leave like the infield to go like say what's up to people that they know or something like outside the garage area?
Not normally.
No. Y'all are too big shot, too famous for that?
No, I wouldn't say that, but yeah, I would say that.
Us little people, man, we can't get into y'all there.
Like, I have zero time when I'm at the racetrack.
That's true. I can understand.
I mean, it's nuts, man.
You know,
I'm there. I'm signing babies. I mean, I'm doing everything.
Right. Yeah. You can almost walk on water. But I do have one complaint to make to NASCAR. So you shoot this through the whatever pipelines you go through. Go talk to Kyle about this.
Okay.
when I have a pit pass.
Yep.
It's cool to be over there, but I understand they don't want you to drink alcohol on the pit road. That's, you know, I get it, whatever. I think it's kind of stupid, but I can't even bring my cooler in there with beer in it, even if I don't open it. So what am I supposed to do? Just like throw away my entire cooler? That's insane. And then on top of that, if I'm like, all right, well, screw it, I'll just go to the grandstands to watch the rest of the race and like crush my beers. You can't even go to the grandstands because you don't have a ticket. And I'm like, I got a pit pass. Shouldn't I be able to go everywhere? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So just, you know, let Kyle know. That's how I feel about that situation.
All right, we'll do.
Okay. You watched the Erska race tonight, or the Arca race tonight, right?
Erska, yeah. I did watch the Erska race. Thanks.
Well, that's the iRacing league you're about to be in, so you better prepare. But
oh. Okay. I was a little confused. I thought you just missaid it, but
yeah, cool. I always say words completely to a whole nother word. Like when I'm trying to say pineapple, I always just say orange.
I gotcha.
Did that joke land? Did that joke land? Okay.
Yeah.
You watched the ARCA race tonight, right?
I did. I did watch it.
Okay, so you watched your boy, Michael Self, get the first win of the season?
I did. I was very, very proud. Very proud.
Are y'all still tight?
Yeah. Yeah. We still send Adam Sandler quotes all the time and, you know, stuff like that.
Adam Sandler.
So it's like weird. It's weird, like not being a part of Venturini anymore. It's strange.
Mm.
Watching everybody on the racetrack, it's like sad. I wish you were there.
Your old teammates. Are you friends with anybody at KBM yet?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like Raphael, getting to know him a little bit. We work out together, which, by the way, man, he's a beast. Like, I don't know what they put up in the water in Canada, but dude, that guy can, like, he benches, like, 220, and the dude weighs, like, 165. Like, it's the most impressive thing I've seen.
Do you think he could take me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely,
good,
dude.
Good to know. I won't talk shit to him, then.
Yeah, no, it's pretty impressive, honestly.
Tight.
But yeah, no, I've just been kind of hanging out at KBM and getting to know everybody there. It's the same team that I ran with last year, so it's no big deal. Great. But
yeah,
you know, overall, it's fun times.
Do you think Michael Self's going to win the championship now that you're not there?
Yes, I do. Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got a little bit of motivation now, so he's ready to go.
What about Haley Deegan? You think she's going to put up some competition for him?
All right, next topic.
Oh, dude, she came in second.
At Daytona.
Okay, that's fair. That's
with a field about four good cars.
That's fair. Okay, we'll see.
I got some real beef about this, honestly, because they went to Haley's parents.
Right.
Like, immediately after the race ended. Like, they didn't even, like, give Michael Self the time he deserved, or Sinclair, or Toyota, or anybody that actually won the race the time that they deserved, but it's whatever.
No, I think I agree with you, and I think, unfortunately, that's going to be happening a lot this season in ARCA.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have, like, a 500,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, I just thought that was a little silly. I mean, they interviewed her before they interviewed the winner, and it's just, I don't want to talk about it.
I think that's going to be happening a lot. And then that's probably going to happen throughout her career. She's a celebrity without, you know.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
True.
How did your fantasy football season end?
All right. So the league that I actually pay for big money, I don't even know. I think I finished like sixth or seventh.
Out of how many? Like 18?
No, I finished sixth because I made the playoffs. So I started off the year like 0-6. I came all the way back and won like eight straight or something.
Damn.
Or, No. No, I finished 7-6. Yeah, so I won 7 in a row. I went to the playoffs and got fucking booted first round. And then from there, I just lost. And then the other two leagues, which is the TRD league, which pretty much like all the TRD drivers are in.
And is that the one that you were in with Michael Self?
No, I was in the one with Michael and the one I actually played for money.
Okay.
And then there's another league.
That was the one y'all were talking shit on, like when you were both on my podcast.
Yeah. I don't think he ended up winning that one. He ended up winning BMS 1.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. He was in the championship, though. And so he's Billy, actually good. Yeah, no, he's not bad. And then there's another one that I was in that I went all the way to the playoffs, lost. And then the TRD league that I was just talking about went all the way to the final round and lost by, like, not too much, actually. I don't really remember. But, yeah, I lost.
Did you like the Super Bowl?
It wasn't bad.
It got good in the second half, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it had its moments. It had its moments for sure.
What about the halftime show?
I didn't watch it, honestly. I was playing left, right, center. Have you ever played that before?
Describe it.
So you start out with $3. It's pretty much like a gambling game. Start with $3, and you take three dice, and you throw them. And they all have left, right, center, and then dots. So if you get a dot, you keep your money. If you get left, you hand a dollar to the left. If you hand a dollar, or if you get right, you hand a dollar to the right. And then if you get the center, you put it in the center.
So this basically sounds familiar.
Yeah. So like basically you just keep going until you're out of money. Whether it's all in the center or it's all at one person. Because once it goes in the center, you can't touch it. So, yeah, during the halftime show, we played that. I got completely blown out of money. But
so what happens to the money in the center?
You just burn it? It goes to the winner.
Oh, shit.
So the last person with a dollar or any money, period, gets that.
Who won?
I don't even remember. It was one of my crew guys. It was at my crew guys' party. But,
okay.
Yeah, I went through $10 so fast, it literally just fell out of my pocket.
Damn.
It was sad.
Well, yeah, you didn't miss much. The halftime show wasn't all that much, I don't think.
Yeah.
And the commercials sucked, honestly. There was, one or two funny ones? Other than that, they all sucked.
Dude, I didn't even pay attention to the commercials.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything there either.
Yeah. And
before we got on, you were making fun of me because I was watching both the XFL games. So that means you're not an XFL fan.
Yeah. No, I've never watched an XFL game in my life.
Well, these were the first games. So when I was a kid, there was the XFL, but it failed within like the first season.
Really?
So they're bringing it back. Yeah, because it's Vince McMahon, the guy that does like professional wrestling.
Yeah.
He owns this league. And so I think it's just like a minor league football team, essentially, for the NFL.
Really?
It's pretty cool, man. There's like some old ass players that you're like, oh shit, he's still alive. And then there's some like college players that you forgot about because they just didn't make the cut in the NFL. It was pretty entertaining. Like, for instance, they got a couple different rules. On a kickoff, both teams have to completely stand still until the returner catches the ball, and then they can move. I mean, that's kind of, that's kind of a cool idea, right? Because you're like, okay, he can start running before, you know, he just gets lit up. It was pretty interesting. Not terrible football, but.
Yeah. Speaking of which, of disasters, pretty much. So me and my buddy Todd Gilliland, had to load up a hot tub yesterday.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about, I saw this on your Instagram story, and that was the dumbest looking thing ever. What were you doing?
So, we pretty much, so his parents had a hot tub, and they're moving, and they didn't want it anymore. It came with the house they were in, or whatever the hell it was. So, Todd had the bright idea, okay, let's go get the hot tub, and we're going to put it at my house. So, we get there, and dude, this thing weighs probably 1,000 pounds, probably more. I don't really know. It's a hot tub. It weighs a lot. So we get this damn thing. Like, I first tie it to the back, or I ratchet strap around it and move it with the Tundra just to kind of like see if it'll move. And we really didn't know how it was like plugged in either. So we pulled it enough to see a cord. And then, you know, we kind of, it was actually determined two things. We determined how it was powered, and it also determined that it wouldn't break if we were pulling it. So I unplugged it, which we smartly, we called somebody before we did it, and they told us to turn the power off going to that deal. So, I mean, we did it legit. We turned the breaker and everything. I've started a fire before with electric stuff with a battery. It's a little bit different when it's actually like major electric now. So, I was pretty nervous the whole time, but I did get it out. And then from there, we had a trailer, and we really didn't know how to get it up on the trailer. Like, we just had a hot tub that's sitting on a concrete deal.
Yeah, you and can't. Just,
it was
like,
just two of us. Right. We had no forklift. Like, we didn't really plan for it well. So, I had the bright idea to, like, I looked at it and I went, all right, well, I mean, let me just strap one side of it and try to flip it over on its side with the Tundra. So we ratcheted a deal because it was there's panels on the side of it. So there was like a piece, like a structure piece in the middle of each side. So I just kind of ratcheted around that and then, you know, kind of went over the top of the hot tub and hooked it up to the Tundra. And, you know, it really wasn't going that well. So we finally just backed the trailer all the way up against it. So it had like a chalk almost. So, this is the part where I about kill Todd. I start going. So, you know, I get it up on its side, and it's going a little bit. It's going a little bit, but it's kind of just dragging. Then finally, this thing catches. And, I mean, this thing's flipping up like hardcore. I mean, I'm going slow to the point where it's on the trailer, but it's halfway tipped over. So, I tell Todd to get behind the damn thing, which I don't really know why I did that, but he gets behind this thing and he's holding it up. And keep in mind, this thing is still, you know, 1,000 pounds or whatever. And I unstrap it while he's like fucking hanging on to this thing. Go, you know, move my truck out of the way, cause I've got a feeling this thing's gonna, you know, break somehow. And he's still over there, and I'm thinking of ways, like, to try to straighten it out, because it's still, like, crooked on the trailer, but it's kind of up. And we finally find, like, a way to, like, hobble it up onto its, like, actual side. So it's on the trailer legit now. And we try a whole bunch of stuff after that, like, you know, trying to back the trailer underneath it, trying to pull the trailer out so that it's a little bit more level. Nothing works, so... Finally, I just say, screw it. You know, it's already on its side. Just run a strap around the bottom of it, kind of in between, you know, where you take the side panels off. So I run a strap around that and run a strap towards the front of the trailer, and I just pull the Tundra up there. Keep in mind, this thing's, like, made of wood, so the bottom of it's probably killed now because right. of it. But so I just get in the throttle and start pulling this thing up the trailer. And we got it just perfect, like, on the trailer, damn. The whole nine. Like, I mean, the side of it's probably killed because, like I said, it drug the whole entire thing across the trailer. We went through one of the ratchet straps that we had around the bottom broke, and that was a real moment. But yeah, we got it on the trailer.
You just have to put that side up against like a wall.
Yeah. So today, you know, we had a huge win yesterday. Okay, we moved a hot tub with one dude or two dudes in a truck, pretty much.
I heard y'all had like a winter storm or something come through, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was 30 degrees for like 3 hours out there. We were just working hard.
Jesus.
So this morning, we're like, all right, we're going to get in the backyard. And keep in mind, he lives in a neighborhood, like HOA, everything, like, you know, legit deal. You know, houses are probably 8 foot apart from each other.
Bunch of NASCAR drivers just bringing a hot tub through.
That's so, yeah, I mean, we got the hot tub there last night, so it's just parked in the front yard, or not front yard, but the driveway, so, you know,
I have a hot tub in the driveway.
Yeah, it's and it's on its side, by the way, in the trailer.
And are y'all trying to write a country song? Because that's what this sounds like.
So pretty much, I get there this morning, probably 9:30, and you know, we come up with the idea of how we're gonna get it in the backyard, and he wants to do it the right way, you know, kind of like use like PVC pipe or something to like roll it in the backyard.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But I didn't think that was the greatest idea, and I think it was going to be super time consuming. So, I had the great idea of, and keep in mind, there's like a tree and okay. 8 foot on each side of the house. There's a tree on the one side and not on the other side, but the other side has a neighbor and the other side had a house that was getting built.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, we're not going to piss the neighbor off. We're not going to like drive through his yard to get in the backyard. So we're going to have to go like through the tree and bank around the corner in like an 8 foot spot with a Toyota Tacoma and a trailer with a hot tub in the back. And keep in mind, I'm pretty damn good with towing trailers. So,
okay.
I mean, I was pretty confident myself. So, you know, we get rolling here, and I go up, I turn the truck around, I come on back, and I make my first swing at it, and it's not even close. I mean, I probably missed it by 2 feet.
So you're not getting trailers?
Well, no, I don't think you understand how tight of a hole this damn thing was.
I mean, do you think that you're better than me?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see.
So, yeah, we get this deal pretty much stuck, but you know, my great expertise, and keep in mind it's muddy because it's rained for the past 3 days, and where I'm trying to drive, it has a house on one side and it has pillars and like, you know, like how they build a house, they have like pillars and tarp, right. Okay. Like surrounding the lot, so it's like at a little hill up to the deal, and I'm ripping the lip, like I got this thing like an inch away, like trying everything I can to get this damn thing in the backyard. And I mean, there's no room for it, even if I get it straight, probably. But you know, I take the one swing and it didn't work, so I backed all the way out. And the second swing, I missed it by like half an inch, and like I tried to back up and get it in the spot and try to get it over just a little bit. It didn't even work. So at this point, I mean, the front yard is killed. I mean, if HOA doesn't call, I'm going to be surprised, to say the least. So I finally get it to back it out all the way. And this time I'm pretty damn stuck. So like there was a point where I was concerned that I was not going to be able to get it out, but thankfully I did. And we dropped the trailer off at a certain race shop, and there the hot tub sits.
But okay,
I think it might be in a problem, though, because I think the pipes might get frozen in that damn thing, because I'm pretty sure there's still water in it. And
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I thought about that today, but it's fine. It's not mine. And it was free. I mean, whatever. If it doesn't work, we'll just take it out.
How did the Tundra do? Carrying it.
The Tundra did not carry it. It did pull it though, and it pulled very well. Yeah.
Okay.
Multiple times it pulled it.
So the Toyota's held up.
Yeah. The Tundra has held up great.
Versus like a Chevy.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, dude.
So you're telling me a Toyota truck's better than a Chevy truck?
Yes, that would be what I'm telling you.
Okay, what's better? I know they're very different, but do you have a Tundra?
Yeah.
Do you like the Tundras better than the Tacomas?
Yes. Yeah, I don't like the Tacomas that much because, yeah, they're pretty small.
Okay. The Tacomas, yeah, they're just like they're almost like the Colorado versus the Silverado, right?
Yeah, they're super small.
But aren't they supposed to be pretty sweet for like off-road, the Tacomas?
I don't know. I mean, I pretty much took it off-road through Todd's front yard this morning. It seemed to do a good job. It does not like towing a trailer that well, though.
No?
Well, it was muddy, so I can't really give it
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like a badass off-road. Like, it's a TRD, right? TRD Pro?
Mine? Yeah. I don't know about the Tacoma that Todd had. I think it was just a TRD.
Oh, he doesn't have a TRD Pro, dude? That's weak.
Yeah, dude, he got it when it was like, whatever you want to call it, 15.
I mean, shit, they seriously? Made him
that. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. He's literally a driver. You know what my first car was? Is this your first car?
No, I had a 2010 Lexus RX 350 that was red, and it looked like I was taking my kids to soccer every single time I do it.
Okay. My first car was a 2001 Chevy Malibu with no tint on the windows at all, just like clear see-through glass.
Oh, yeah.
Silver, so just like the most boring color ever. It was pretty badass. I thought I was a race car driver in it. It had an e-brake, so I would just, you know, go to parking lots and pull that shit.
Hell yeah, dude. The Tacoma does have an e-brake, though. That is one thing that's fun about it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I can rip it in Todd's, too, because it's not mine, so I don't really care for brakes.
Do you think your Lexus versus my Malibu were street racing? Who's winning?
I don't know, man. I got pretty comfortable in that damn thing. The toe was out, like, majorly, though. I mean...
Okay. Well, the answer is you. The Malibu was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. That Malibu
was awful. I don't know, man. The Red Rocket was pretty terrible as well. I mean, as far as racing, I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't that fast. I mean, it was front-wheel drive. It just liked to, you know, spin the tires a lot. But it wasn't going anywhere. That's the problem. Like, it was just front-wheel drive and making noise.
Did you ever do any, like, you know, growing up as teenagers, I feel like a lot of people with their first cars try to, like, do street racing against their friends and their other shitty cars. Or you'll find, like, a backcountry road or parking lots. Did you ever do anything like that? Or because you grew up actually racing cars, you were like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
No, not really. Like, I mean, honestly, I was never, like, in high school. That's the problem. Like, that's... I never was a part of that stuff. And, you know, like, I drive fast. And I'm not even gonna lie. But I don't really like waiting around stuff, so...
Mm-hmm.
But no, I never like raced on the street before.
That's
keep
weak,
that,
dude.
Keep that shit for the track, man.
Yeah, that's true. I wish I had that that option. I got to in Darlington, or not Darlington. I'm sorry, in the Myrtle Beach track. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, Myrtle Beach Speedway.
Yep. Okay. I got to do the like NASCAR experience.
Yep.
And so I drove the car myself with nobody in it, and I felt like a fucking badass. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I get out, you know, after a couple laps, and I'm just like so pumped up. And it was for my bachelor party. And my friends were like, why are you going like 90 miles an hour the whole time? They're like, what the fuck was that, dude? You weren't even going fast.
And yeah, dude.
I thought I was going so fast. I was like, how am I going to keep this car on a bank going this fast? But it did. So I can't even imagine what it's like for y'all out there.
Yeah. You know what the worst is when you're thinking you're going really fast and like you're professional and you come in off the track and you're about half a second off. That's always the rough ones right there.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's going to be a long day.
Well, I mean, clearly I have experience in a stock car on an oval track. Do you think I still got a shot to make my NASCAR career run?
Probably not, man. I'm sorry, but... I mean,
you think I'm over the
shot,
hill?
I'd probably say you're over the hill, man.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's still possible. I mean, nothing's impossible in this world. I truly believe that, so.
I'll send you a picture of me, show Kyle Busch, and just be like, look at this guy. Look at that guy. You want that guy in a truck, don't you? And he'll be like,
shit. No promises, but sure. Yeah, I'll do that.
I mean, I just think if he looks at my face, he'd be like, I don't even care how this guy drives. Look at that fucking face. We need him in a car.
Sure. Yeah, you can go with that.
Okay. I think we got a game plan. So you're excited though for Monday, your big moment. I mean, put aside all your other bullshit that you've done in your racing career. This is it. iRacing.
We'll see, man. This is the make it or break it here. You might have to find another driver. This series isn't good enough.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna find another driver. I'm too lazy for that. I found you because I texted you, so it was that simple. don't make me find another driver. If you
I know you're busy, so if you can't make races, I totally understand. My car is probably just going to not be in that race then. I'm that lazy. I'm just going to be like, well, fuck it. I don't know.
Dude. I mean, you got to get the 69 car out there.
I know. That's the thing. And I got some other paint schemes that I've made, too.
Well, you got to send them to me, man.
Yeah, I'll send them to you. I got one for... So my idea was, you know, a NASCAR, they'll do other paint schemes for, like, holidays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My idea was to find the most obscure holidays that NASCAR would never make additional paint schemes for.
Yeah, dude.
So I got perfect. I got one for Flag Day.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's got a bald eagle with a mullet and a bandana.
And it's perfect.
It says Merrick Caw, like the eagle, you know. I got a St. Paddy's Day one. And on the back it says, "They're after me, lucky car." I mean,
nice. I mean, I like the Flag Day most, but
okay. And then I'm designing a Cinco de Mayo one right now. So if you got any ideas, let me know.
Cinco de Mayo. Hmm.
Are you too white to know about Cinco de Mayo?
No, I know what Cinco de Mayo is.
I mean, I'm Texan, so I'm like halfway Mexican already.
You're a Texican.
Exactly, dude. If you're from Texas. I mean, you're a little bit Mexican just from being from here. So
that's funny.
I'm allowed to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. You're not. You're too white.
I'm too New York.
Don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo, you gringo.
I'm straight out of New York, man.
Straight out of Compton?
Straight out of New York, actually.
Where in New York again are you from?
Crazy Mount. Name Ice Cube. From a band called...
I'm not gonna edit it. So I was like, if you say it, it's going in. Nah, I would edit that. I'm not supposed to help you there. Where in New York are you from again?
Middletown, New York. It's like the ghetto redneck part of New York. How about that?
Okay. It sounds really boring. Middletown?
Middletown? Dude, Middletown's actually pretty cool.
It sounds boring as hell, dude. Middletown?
Well, so does Texas, so.
Excuse me? Yeah. I will drive to North Carolina right now.
Let's do it.
Nah, I can't afford
that. I'll be here.
But you like North Carolina?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just different.
I mean, it's better than New York, at least. At least you got out of that state.
No, bro. There's a bunch of angry people. I love it, man. Those are my people. Don't talk about them like that.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. We're excited to have you part of our iRacing team. Excited to see you in the truck series this year with KBM. When I air this episode, I think I'm going to air it. It's going to be Monday night or Tuesday morning, so it's actually going to be after your race. Yeah. What are you predicting? What are you going to finish?
It's the duels, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I'll probably wreck. Because I'm going to be making some moves because I need to use it for Friday. So, I mean, I don't really need to race until, I think, the next week. So, I mean, I'll probably crash or do something stupid.
All right. Fair enough with me.
All right, man. I mean, it's been fun. It's been real. It just hasn't been real fun, so.
Okay. Well, it hasn't for me either. I hate you when you come on the podcast. You're the worst person on the show.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate
that. That's what best friends say to each other, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, dude. Well, I'll be talking to you.
All right, man. Sounds good.
All right, later. Take care. It was strange.